good morning to each one. This morning my thoughts were drawn to a topic that William touched on a couple Sundays ago. He was speaking mostly to the regard of corporate prayer. My mind's been thinking, and God has drawn me to some scriptures since then about prayer. And on the surface, it's a simple thing. It's an address to God in word or thought through the person of Jesus Christ. But there's many layers to it. There's much power in it. And I was convicted that I haven't always let the prayer, the power of prayer, fully be evident in my life. I've hampered the power of prayer. Let's start by reading in James 5, starting in verse 7. I'm going to read James 5, 7 through 16. This passage touches a bit on being patient in suffering, as well as being patient and faithful in prayer. These are things that in the last 6-8 years of my life have become real to me in ways that they were not previous, and hopefully can share some things here from this passage and also from my own experience that can bless your life this morning. Verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one another, grudge not against another, brother, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That's where I'll stop reading for now. And just want to go back over and point out a couple things that have become real to me in some of these verses. And starting there, the first verse I read in 7, I remember growing up being told, prayer is good, reading these verses, that prayer changes things, God answers prayer. And in this verse, it talks about a gardener or a husbandman waiting for the fruits of his labor. And it then ties it in with being patient in prayer, as well as patient in a time of suffering. And it's become real to me that God has answered so many prayers in my life. A few of them fairly quickly, but some of the ones that have meant the most to me have taken a long time. And as I shared my testimony the other night, I'm not naturally the most patient person. I'll admit that, and I know that to be true. But through some suffering, through some trials, and then a reminder again in this verse this morning that just like a gardener plants seed and he faithfully waters it, pulls weeds, he allows time to pass before the fruit is there. And God asks me to be faithful in praying. in bringing these requests to him. Verses 10 through 11 talks about taking example from some of the prophets in the Bible, speaks specifically of Job, and how many of us, having just studied that in Sunday school, were, I know I was, just amazed again at the huge amount of suffering that Job, a righteous man according to God, was subject to all this suffering. Who am I to think I won't go through suffering? And yet God was merciful and verse 11. You have heard of the patience of Job, and I have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He didn't give Job a whole lot of hope while he was going through the trial. He asked him to persevere. I think he was asked to be faithful, and through that, he learned a lot more of God. And yet at the end, God was very pitiful and of tender mercy, and there were blessings, and Job experienced them in this life. And I don't think we have a promise that we're going to experience them in this life. But if I were to tell you, go out and do some really hard, back-breaking labor all next week, and didn't tell you when you would get, let's say I didn't put a time on it. Let's say I have this big job. You're going to sweat every day, 12 hours a day. It's going to be hard work. And there'll be a reward at the end. It's going to be better than you can imagine. You go out there every day and you suffer and toil for this thing that you can't imagine. It's really hard to stay motivated when there's time involved and we don't know for sure what the reward will look like. Well, then let's say at the end of a week, I handed you a check for $1 million. Would that all of a sudden, that week of backbreaking labor that seemed like nothing could be worth this much, all of a sudden it would seem pretty small? I have a feeling. Maybe not to you, but it would have to me. You know, we have that in the reward of heaven. What's 80 years, 100 years of pain, suffering, backbreaking labor here compared to forever? That's something that just has become real to me. Going on and touching on the last couple verses that I read, talks about faithful prayer. What exactly is that? Talks about the elders anointing with oil, praying over him. And reading some commentary on verse 15, the prayer of faith, and I believe this touches on the thing that William talked about a couple weeks ago, corporate prayer. And I think sometimes I've fallen down on the job when we have someone who's physically sick, spiritually sick, and not praying fervently enough or long enough, and having faith over time. And I think there's just such a power there that we don't often tap into. I know I don't. Now, switching gears a little bit, how exactly does prayer get answered? I know growing up I had kind of a vague picture in my mind. You know, I would pray for this thing and boom, there, God would somehow magically make it appear or come forth in my life. I think any of us that have spent a little bit of time on this earth know that it often takes time, it takes trials, it takes learning experiences. And here's the thing that I've been convicted of recently. Often the answer to prayers can be the work of one of you here in this church, this body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Christ. I'm going to read some verses now in James 2, verses starting in verse 14. James 2, 14 through 16. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye have given not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Reading that, convicted me. I have been part of corporate prayer services. I have seen needs, and I've even felt prompting in my spirit from God to do something, to give something of myself, share my experience, possibly physical blessings, that could have helped maybe answer part of that prayer. And I don't think I always recognized it for what it was. I got busy, I ignored it. And I just think that there is such a huge power here in this room. Each one of you Christians, us Christians, is the hands and feet of Christ. We all know of needs. Every person is made up of three things: spirit, soul, and body. Often I think we focus on a physical ailment. Maybe somebody in a lot of physical pain, physical handicap, and that's good. But there's three parts to that person, that body. And I think often there's soul pain, there's spirit pain. And the last part of what I read in 5 talks of verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I think that each one of us is possibly sick in other ways. As long as we're here on the sinful earth, we have our sinful nature. We can be sick physically, spiritually, mentally. And each one of us, I think, has unique gifts to answer prayers for any one of those sicknesses. And my encouragement today is that we look for those things and step out. And, you know, we can't solve the whole problem often, but I think often we have gifts individually. I know when I was going through, when Kendra and I were going through a really hard time, mostly physically, there was spiritual and other issues involved. Mm-hmm. I just remember the encouragement it was when different of you came to us and simply sat and listened, encouraged, prayed with us. And, you know, that didn't really help the physical healing so much, but it helped the holistic, the whole body, the spirit and soul healing for my wife and I. We have others in church right now, I think, that can use that. I can use it from time to time. Each one of us also has unique gifts, I think, that can help answer those prayers that people around you might be praying. I'm going to leave you with this verse from Philippians 2, what we read a couple Sundays ago in Sunday school. Philippians 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, so much for the power of prayer that you've given each of us. We thank you, Lord, that we can simply ask and bring things to you, requests, praise, supplication, through the name of Jesus, and that you will hear it. I just pray now that we could go beyond this and to realize sometimes as Christians we are called to help possibly answer others' prayers. Pray that we would be willing to do this, that we would be open to the Spirit's prompting, and that as a body of Christ we could minister to each other, to the community, and present a bride that is ready for you at the last day. Pray that you would be with the remainder of the service, be with the Sunday school hour, the one who has the message. We pray this in Jesus' name.